For a lot of residents on Red Village Road in Lyndonville, the clear and quiet Hawkins Brook has been one of the reasons they loved living there. Now, it may be the reason they have to leave. Catastrophic flooding late last month turned the brook into a wrecking ball that damaged or destroyed more than a dozen homes. Those floods also altered the brook's course in ways that now endanger many more. It's a story that's playing out in communities across Vermont right now. And as Vermont Public's Peter Hirschfeld reports, it's raising new questions about how and whether Vermonters can coexist with rivers they live by.
Until the early morning hours of Tuesday, July 30th, Andy Pogany's backyard in Lyndonville was an idyllic rural sanctuary.
This used to be a nice, beautiful lawn with an artesian well about 60 to 100 feet away. To my right was where my business shop used to be, which is no longer. The brook has completely changed its course.
The Hawkins Brook has carved an entirely new river channel that's left homes like Pogany's even more susceptible to the next flash flood. The brook used to be about 150 feet away from his home.
As you can see here, Pete, it's within, 20 feet of the deck? So I now have waterfront property. So I guess in my retirement, I can just sit here with my fish pole and fish off the deck, I suppose, but...
Pogany's handling the news with humor. But what he really wants is for the state to reroute the river back to its original course, to give him and his wife a fighting chance to live out their years in the home they've shared for four decades. That plan got shot down, though, by a river management engineer from the Vermont Department of Environmental Conservation, who visited Pogany's home a few days after the flood.
He walked the property and he came back and said, "I don't have news that you're going to want to hear." And I asked him what the bad news was going to be, and he said the brook will now stay where it is. And I probably said some choice words.
Rob Evans heads up the Watershed Management Division at the Department of Environmental Conservation. He says more frequent and more severe weather events have ramped up the conflict between man-made infrastructure and dynamic river corridors. And he says sometimes nature wins, even when homeowners like Pogany want to beat it back.
Yes, sometimes what they want to do would create a more dangerous or unstable condition, and we say you can't do that.
Humans have been in conflict with nature since the dawn of civilization. But here in Vermont, that tension has begun to threaten the future of historic settlement patterns. Because protecting residential and commercial infrastructure from what appears to be a terrifying new normal isn't always possible.
So there has to be a balance there between our ecological mission and our ability to be frank with people if we feel that they're going to be in harm's way for the rest of their existence, right?
Jason Batchelder is the commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation. He says he's haunted by the stories of Vermonters like Pogany.
And I can't imagine being the person staying 10 feet away from that river that used to be 150 feet away. I can't imagine it.
But Batchelder says the series of floods Vermont has experienced over the past 14 months have prompted some serious introspection on his part.
My big question that I ask myself, who is going to have the appetite to look at a downtown like Plainfield or Barnett and say, this is a thing of the past?
Plainfield and Barnett experienced some of the most catastrophic damage from the flooding on July 10th. Other towns built along river corridors, many in the Northeast Kingdom, have also seen severe and repeated damage over the past year. Batchelder says the process of relocating small neighborhoods, let alone entire villages, is tough to comprehend. But he says regularly repeating the psychological trauma and financial loss of large-scale flooding also seems untenable.
And at what point will we as a collective society say it's time?
Knowing when to pull up stakes, though, can be a complex decision that often involves a messy financial calculus for residents who are at risk. Like in Richmond, where the usually placid Snipe Ireland Brook jumped its banks on July 10th and inundated several homes on Red Barn Lane and Lily Pond Circle. Residents there want the state to armor the brook to reduce the chance that the next event does even more damage. Lily Pond Circle resident Shay DeCoco says the state has indicated that sort of work is possible here, but he says they've been told they're on their own if they want to make it happen.
The only solution thus far is for homeowners to take it upon themselves to clear out those rivers, or hire a contractor on their own dime to clear out those rivers, build up banks, remove silt, do whatever it is to sort of make it look like it did before when they had some protection.
DeCoco says that work could cost upwards of $45,000.
It just seems pretty shocking that the state doesn't have some sort of resource that they can bring in these kind of situations to help alleviate the burden here on folks that have just suffered, you know, a massive flood.
Rob Evans with the Department of Environmental Conservation says communities across Vermont who want to do flood mitigation are contending with the same lack of access to public resources.
More often than not, folks that have, you know, an improvement within the river corridor that's being threatened, get the authorization to protect that improvement. But more often than not, they don't have the money to do that. And that's the hard part.
Elected officials in Vermont and Washington, D.C. are in the midst of a long-running debate over how to manage the enormous costs of preventing future disasters. The future of residents in Richmond, Lindenville, and other communities may hinge on the outcome. For Vermont Public, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.